Well, you know, as I started thinking about the sermon today, and we're going to be talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the song that came to my mind, the fictional character Johnny Appleseed, came to my mind. And so the song he would sing, and I'm not going to sing him, I'm going to read it. I'll sing a little bit. It says, "The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and the rain and the apple seed. Yes, He's been good to me. I owe the Lord so much for everything I see. I'm certain if it weren't for Him, there'd be no apples on this limb. He's been good to me. Oh, here I am, neath the blue sky, I'm doing as I please, singing with my feathered friends, humming with the bees. I wake up every day as happy as I can be, because I know that with His care, my apple trees, they will still be there. Oh, the Lord has been good to me." And as he would sing this song, he would plant apple seeds wherever he might go, so that the apple trees would grow and people would enjoy the fruit. You might say he would get to the core of the situation. Seriously, as I started thinking about this song and the melody, well, stick in your head, "The Lord's been good to me." I got to remember the next sermon. And the melody, and it dawned on me that we are seed planters in every day in our life. We're seed planters. There were times when we're coming back, and this is one thing you don't do to your wife, says, as I'm driving back from Ohio, says, "You know, I have this thought about doing seeds. And I want to get seed packets for everybody here." Well, you know what? There aren't seed packets around. So I said, "Now you tell me. Should have known this about 2 weeks ago." But it's a responsibility to know what kind of seed planters we're going to be. What kind of seed planters are we going to be with the fruits of the Holy Spirit in our life? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:6. Turn your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 3:6. For 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow." This verse describes Paul's frustration with the Corinthian church. As some wanted to be associated with Paul, others with Apollos, and still others with another individual. But he's correcting the church that they should not be identified with any particular person other than God Himself. It's God who makes things grow. Our purpose is just to plant the seed. And the ultimate growth belongs to God. And I also see us as seed planters, as Paul refers to himself. You know, throughout our walks in life, there are many opportunities for us to plant seeds. Let's look at the parable of the sower and how it might relate to us. Turn with me to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, we'll look at verses 1 through 9. This is a sermon we could do just on this particular parable, but I'm not going to do it today on this sermon. It's just a... Let me go through it real quickly in terms of... It talks about basically starting at verse... I get to the right chapter. We're good. But it's up to that same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat. And I love the thing about the boat there in the bulletin. It says, just outside there, if you look at the front of the bulletin, so they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. That's what it means sometimes in life in the Spirit, following God, leaving everything behind, yielding to God. That's just sort of a side. Then he told them many things in the parable, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed." Maybe because I was in the Midwest, I saw a lot of farm country. That started getting into my heart there. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. So other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times. Well, that was sown, and it says, "He who has ears, let him hear." As we reflect on these verses, think where you might be in your walk in Christ. Does the seed that you plant just float away? Does the seed have any debt at all. Any debt at all in your life. So you let the worries of this of the world disrupt your faith in Christ. Or are you walking in the Spirit so you can reap a good crop? Reap 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. You know, for some seeds that we plant, and again, we're seed planters. Some seeds, we plant seeds of discourse in people and situations through seeds of frustration, seeds of anger, seeds of hatred, etc. These are seeds sometimes we plant in our life. We plant in others. While other times we plant seeds of encouragement in situations through love, through hope, through peace. These are seeds that Paul's referring to when he spoke about planting the seed in 1 Corinthians 3. We read about it. I planted seed. I planted the seed. Somebody else might water it, but God makes it grow. The credit belongs to God. And the seeds that God, the Lord wants to cultivate in our lives are the seeds from the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The seeds from the Holy Spirit. This is in Galatians 5:22-23. This is what I love about this verse. I want you to catch the second phrase of this verse. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The next sentence is very important that we understand this. Against such things, there is no law. The law cannot legislate anything away from these gifts, away from these fruits. Nothing can take away from this part of this Holy Spirit. You know, my limited knowledge of gardening. You ever seen me garden or whatever? And Jeff, I appreciate. I was just looking out there this morning. All the flowers that are out there and the grass that is growing and stuff like that. I appreciate all your work you did and Gina has done and all the people that have participated in that. That's just the hard work to be done and just it's beautiful. Just want to thank you for that. But if you ever seen me gardening, one of the things I have is that in the comic Peanuts, there's a comic character in Peanuts called Linus. No, not Pigpen. Pigpen, who has this cloud of dirt always around him. Well, when I'm gardening, that's the cloud of dirt. I have a cloud of dirt all around me. I've got mulch on me. I've got stuff like that. I've got dirt all over. So I really enjoy getting into gardening. I get one with the earth. But that's my limited knowledge of gardening. But as I have my limited knowledge of gardening, I know that fruit grows on trees. Fruit grows on trees. And have many seeds within that fruit. There are many seeds within that fruit. But for the reproduction of the fruit tree to take effect, the fruit needs to be open to expose the seeds so that new trees can grow. The same way with us. We're that tree. We need to have the seed be exposed so we can plant seeds in other people's lives. God wants us to open our hearts to expose Christ's seed, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So that in our heart to touch others and change situations. The Lord's desire is for us to reproduce His seed and make disciples of Jesus Christ. To make disciples of Jesus Christ. However, this is a big caution. Sometimes we sow the seeds of our enemy in our daily walk. And I'm going to talk about that. But we need to make a determination every day in our life what kind of seed planter we're going to be. What kind of seed planter are we going to be? I know it's a struggle for me day in and day out. But I've got to yield my life to the Holy Spirit, my mouth, my mind, and my spirit, so that I become the seed planter that God wants me to be. Zechariah 4:6 says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by my might, not by my power, but my spirit, says the Lord. You know, we can say we want to be a seed planter for God, and we try to do it in our own knowledge. And you know what happens? We fail. Only by His Spirit can we do this. We can only be the truest seed planter in God when these seeds of His fruit of the Holy Spirit are integral parts of our life. I want to look, just spend a few moments just examining two areas of what kind of seeds we're planting in our life. Either God's seed or seeds of the enemy. first seed we're talking about in the fruits of the Holy Spirit, we're planting seeds of love. God desires for each one of us to have compassionate, unconditional servant love for ourselves and others. We want, that's what God's desire. But sometimes we're planting seeds of hate. What kind of compassion do you have for others? Are you really concerned about that? Or is it just lip service? Are you willing to go the extra mile? Do you truly love the person sitting next to you at work? Do you truly love the person on the bus, on the airplane, or in church, sitting next to you right now? I would hope yes, in church here particularly. Sometimes we plant the seed of hate because we truly don't care for that person. What seed are you planting in your life? Where do you need to repent before God to say, you know what? I really don't really love that person. God calls us to love our enemies. Are we planting that seed of love? Because if we don't, if we're hating our enemies, we're planting a seed of hate. And that could be infectious. That could be something that just starts destroying us. The next thing is that planting seeds of joy. It says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I always look at the acronym JOY of that. Jesus, others, and you. Reflects what our attitude should be. Our focus needs to be first on the Lord, for He is our strength. Second, it needs to be focused on others. What can I do to serve them? And third, ourselves. We are made in God's image. We need to take joy in that. But look at the converse of that. Sometimes we plant seeds of despair in people's lives. We see in the news so much negative news that we can get discouraged. Instead of encouraging others to trust the Lord, we allow this news to infiltrate the mind of a person that we become desperate and do something drastic. We fail to open our mouth and plant seeds of joy in a person's life. We were talking a little bit today in the Gateway class about tough love. And many people are tough love. They have despair in their life. They have some things going on. And if we keep feeding that negative part in their life, we just keep defeating them. But we've got to promote joy in their life. We've got to say, okay, here's what Jesus Christ can do in their life. We can lift up the joy. We can plant seeds of joy. We can encourage them. We can lift them up. That's what God's calling us to do in planting those seeds. Next thing is planting seeds of peace. Philippians 4, 6, or 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all your understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do we bring peace into a situation? Are we at peace with ourselves? We're called to sow peace and righteousness. The same thing is, we could be planting seeds of discord. Do we look to stir things up? Do we come into a situation and try to look at things? Do we try to stir things up in a situation that we're involved in? What people see is, do they see a person of peace or a person of discord? Are we argumentative? Do we want to get our way every time? Or do we listen to other points of view? In James, it says that we're called to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? We want to get our words in, don't we? We don't want to hear what the person is saying. We don't want to listen to what they're saying and maybe understanding their heart of what they're saying. We say, you know what? I've got the answer for you. But we're not listening to their heart. And plant the seeds of discord, we seem to reverse this. We are quick to speak and slow to listen. Next thing is that they were planting seeds of patience. Bill Gothard, who was a teacher years ago, had a little button that he would give every one of the people that attend. And I don't know all the acronyms, I just remember the phrase that went with it. It says, please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. Please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. How many of you wives right now think your husband is complete? I don't see anybody's hand being raised. So you're praying to God, still be patient with them, because your husband saying, please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. You know what? We're never going to be finished. Even Sue's dad, who's been married for 63 years, is still being taught by his wife how to do some things. But we need to have patience with others and ourselves. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God has a plan for you. Also in 2 Timothy 3:9 it says, God is patient with us. I want you to understand this. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Holy of Holies, the Almighty God, every other name, the Alpha and the Omega, everything else, God is patient with us. Now, are we identified with Jesus Christ? Do you believe you're identified with Jesus Christ? He says he's not wanting anyone to perish. But let me tell you, but sometimes we plant seeds of anxiousness in people's lives because we're anxious to see something happen. How many of you have been praying for somebody that something, a relationship might change or something else might change, and you become so anxious that you fail to be patient with what God is doing in that person's life? Sometimes we take and Bill Gothard's phrase, how patient are you in allowing God to work in others? I've got to tell a golf story here in terms of this. A couple of years ago, there was a person that came to me. I was playing golf in a tournament, and he came to me and says, Rick, would you be patient if you played golf with a person who had never swung a club before? Now, I love playing golf. I love the golf. I feel I'm a decent golfer, above average golfer. And I basically told this person, yes, I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with that. To be able to have that person come who just hits the ball just a couple feet. Other than Sue's mother. I was having a struggle with that. But anyway, it just so happened this person, the next day was going to be my foursome. She had never swung a club before. Never done that. But I was able to help her and teach her. God allowed me to sow a seed of patience in her life. Are you patient enough to allow God to work in your life? It comes down to trust, whether you trust God or not. If God is patient with us, shouldn't we extend the same to others? Go back to 2 Peter. If God is patient with us, shouldn't we be patient with others? Shouldn't we look around, be patient, understand what they're going through? Next thing is planting seeds of kindness. Did we go out of our way to say a kind word to someone? I guarantee, try it tomorrow just to say something kind about somebody. I was in a store in Puerto Rico, and I had to go. One of the things I have when I travel is I have cones that get lost. I don't know how they get lost, but I have more cones than I have bought in summer shops. Because I can't, all of a sudden the cone's lost. So I go into this store, and the person's name is Hakim, or I think I'm pronouncing it right. H-A-K-I-M. And I said, that's a beautiful name. What does that name mean? He says, it's a Lebanese name meaning called to be the beloved. Called to be the beloved. It was just something there. I just thought it was a beautiful name. But try tomorrow just to say something kind to somebody tomorrow and see what type of reaction you get. To say something kind. Look at that. Think of someone you're having a struggle with. You have a struggle relationship with, and offer them a kind word, not looking for anything in return. The Bible says that offering kind words of love, we're heaping coals of fire upon their head. Husbands, go out of your way tomorrow to praise your wife and see what they do. I don't hear any amens. But the exact opposite of that, we're planting seeds of kindness. The next thing of that is that we can be planting seeds of cruelty. This is where I think the world comes that way. Is that do we look for ways to injure a person? Do we look for the worst in a person as opposed to the best? It could be by our words. It could be by our thoughts. It could be by our actions. What seed are we planting? Are we planting seeds of kindness? Are we planting seeds of cruelty? Next thing is planting seeds of goodness. This reflects our integrity. Do people believe that we are honest? Are we honest with ourselves? Are we honest with others? Remember, we cannot hide from God. We cannot hide from God. It is time to examine ourselves and confess our sin before the Lord. Let's be honest with Him and with ourselves. Let's sow the seed of integrity in every situation that we're in. Every situation that we're in. When you're given a job to do you do it the best or you try to do it just a little bit? When you're asked to do something, even at home, kids, you're here. When you're asked to do a chore at home, do you do it just a little bit or do you have integrity to do it the best you can do it? The Lord says to work with all of your heart, to give everything unto Him. That's integrity. That's character building. That's something that happens. If you do, you're sowing the seed of goodness in your own life and in somebody else's life. But sometimes we're planting seeds of evilness. Do we look to see what we can get away with? Are we true to ourselves? Are we true to others? Are we planting shallow words in our relationship to God? We go before God and we say, God, I'm going to spend time in the Word with You and I'm going to spend this time and everything else like that. And I want to believe You. I want to walk with You. And all of a sudden we say, we do that, then we do something else completely. Reminds me of the prayer of the Pharisee and the humble servant. The Pharisee would talk about how much he did and all the stuff he did and how he prayed and how he was doing this. He was giving all this. And the humble servant just basically came and confessed the sin before God. And says, you know what? I am a worthless person. Forgive me. And who did God praise? The humble servant. Jesus Christ had a struggle with the Pharisee. Are you a Pharisee in your life? Saying one thing and doing another. Next thing are our fruits is our planting of seeds of faithfulness. God is faithful in everything He does. God says He will never leave us nor forsake us. Do we praise the Lord in everything that we do? Do we believe that God's in control? Do we praise Him for His mighty acts? Do we praise Him according to His excellent greatness? But many times we plant seeds of doubt in our own life and we plant those seeds in the lives of others. The challenge recently about the faithfulness of God and how much I believe in it. God showed me that I was one of the seeds that were being stuck in the thorns and the enemy was planting seeds of doubt in my life. Praise God to deliver me. But however, it got me to thinking about the faithfulness of God and what He can do. For I believe that God is greater than even is in this world. I believe that God is. You know, it really struck me a little bit that we are being bombarded by things in this world that are being orchestrated by the angel of light. And the angel of light is Satan himself. Now catch this, if you will. The angel of light being sort of this beam of light, if it was on, this little beam of light that would be up here and would show it. That angel of light there is basically blinding people and making them go into a different way. And they're putting seeds of doubt in their way. There's things, God can't do that. God can't do that. God can't do that. Nothing can happen that way. And the angel of light is putting that way. And only you can do that through your own spirit. Only you can do that humanly. God can't do it. Only you've got to do it. And we've heard that talk, haven't we? We've heard that saying, you know what? You've got to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You've got to do everything yourself. Not believing that God can do it. And that's the angel of light speaking. But however, we've got a greater light.
Amen.
Think of that turns in a little flashlight who has a little beam of light. Then take a magnum light with LED that just takes over that light and just diffuses it, makes it so much brighter.
Amen.
That's what God can do. We need to expound on the faithfulness of God. We need to plant those seeds and forget about planting seeds of doubt. I believe God can do many things, and we haven't seen Him. We haven't even seen Him. We haven't even begun to touch the surface of what God can do in this church. Next thing is planting seeds of gentleness. When God corrects us, He is gentle. When we are in need to correct and confront, are we gentle? The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. Jesus responded more to the heart of the individual than with the action, with gentleness. Sharing earlier today that we in our bulletin, we pray for a guy named David Szymanski. His name is there. And I saw a little card there that I had not seen before till today. My fault for not looking at the bulletin board. And I won't go through all the logistics of that and why his name's in the bulletin. You can talk to me later about that. But some things happened in his life that right now he's in prison. But you know what? We've been praying for him. And all of a sudden, because of the gentleness of our prayer, the gentleman is there. We're not judging the action so much. We know that's already taken place. But we're looking at the heart of the individual. That card says, thank you for my prayer. Thank you for the prayers. God is dealing something with me in prison today. God is taking his heart right now and changing that heart. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Yeah, he did it wrong. He did it wrong. He's paying for it. But God looks not on the action so much. He knows that God, he's repentant. But he looks at the heart of the individual. But sometimes we plant seeds of non-compassion because we are so judgmental against somebody that we never let them be forgiven. We keep bringing it up over and over and over again. And we plant those seeds of non-compassion. The last seed we're going to be planting is the seeds of self-control. Self-control. You know, the world is spinning out of control. Many people are seeking answers from many different sources in order to stabilize themselves. As believers, we have a great opportunity to plant seeds of self-control in others' lives. However, we need to make sure that our roots are deep in Christ, so that we can produce the right fruit. We're able to plant the seed of self-control when we truly surrender our life to Jesus Christ. But the opposite part is that we can plant seeds of anger. We can get so frustrated in our life, we become angry. We become angry at every situation in our life. In our early married life, I was a very angry person. Very angry person because a lot of things were happening. And I was very angry, a lot of things. And at that point in time, this is before we came to Northgate, a lot of things. We watched a show called, and some of you heard of it, Hour of Power with Robert Shuler. And those messages touched me. So I said, I'm going to write this thing and I'm going to share my anger. I'm going to share, hey, I'm an angry person. Some things are going on in my life. Well, I got a letter back. Not so much for him, but from his ministry. And they planted some seeds of self-control in my life that changed my life dramatically. They helped me to understand that God is bigger than what I am, what I was thinking God could be. That He could take my anger and redeem it. He could take my anger and change it. What seed are you planting today in somebody's life? Are you helping that person who might be angry? You know, planting seeds is easier said than done. Easier said than done. We can only be effective seed planters if we're yielded to His Holy Spirit through prayer, through the reading of His Word, and fellowship with one another. Fellowship with one another. Sometimes iron sharpens iron, or friends sharpens one another. We need to be held accountable to each other. We need to help nurture that seed in a person's life. You got to remember back in 1 Corinthians 3, it says, we plant the seed. Somebody else watered it. And they were part of the watering part of it. You're a seed planter, but maybe you need to be watered by somebody else. But the most important thing is that God makes it grow. But unless we plant the seed, there's nothing for God to grow. And I want God to grow that seed, not the enemy. I want the seed of God's godly seed to be grown, not the seed of the enemy. And we can only do that for that. We began with the fictional story of Johnny Appleseed. Johnny Appleseed, and I still don't know the melody, and the song he would sing. But God is not looking for fictional characters, but real people who are true seed planters in the kingdom of God. Planting seeds from His fruit only. We can only be this way when God plants a seed and you can, from the fruit of Him. Are you ready to be a seed planter today for the kingdom of God? The fruits of the Spirit are that, all that. It is only by His Spirit. It's not by our might, not by our power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. What kind of seed planter are you going to be today? Godly seed planter or a seed planter of the enemy? You need to make that choice today. Father, Lord God, we come before You recognizing, Father, that it is very difficult to be a seed planter, Lord God, because sometimes when we plant a seed, we want to see instantaneous growth. But Lord God, we know that sometimes seed takes time to nurture and to germinate and to be just mulched and everything else like that, fertilized, and let the Spirit of God work in that person's life. So Father, help us continue, Lord God, not to give up the task of being a seed planter for the kingdom of God. So let us be able to open up the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to release the seeds from each one of these fruits, Lord, that would further Your kingdom. Father, help us to break these things open, Lord God. Plant these seeds in our lives, Lord God, that we be true gardeners in Your kingdom today. In Jesus Christ's name.